Michael learns to rock, it's Sleeping Child. And right now, you learn to manage your finances as best as you possibly can with the guidance of a certified financial planner. It's Shannon Clark back in studio with me once more. It's our Wednesday, Wealth Wednesdays discussion. And today, we're talking investments for the long term. And obviously, like I hinted, this time of year brings about a little bit of unsettling feelings. It's finish line syndrome, as I like to call it. We can see December in sight. We're getting really excited. Hey, maybe you've got lots of Christmas presents to buy, and maybe you've made some really big commitments to holiday, and you're feeling that January now already. But where are the places that you should definitely not be making any changes to the financial plan? Well, your investments, as says Shannon, and here he is to elaborate on that.
Hi there, Leah. Good to be back.
As always, Shan, good to have you in studio.
Yeah, good to be here. And what you're talking about is all this short-termism that we tend to be focused on, and we lose track on what our long-term plans must be, and our investments form part of our long-term plans, and we shouldn't be interrupting them.
Yeah.
And interrupting the process of compounding by short-term focus.
And unfortunately, it does. It happens to the best of us, and we make the best decisions with what we have. And that's why this Wednesday check-in is so important, because you can only make decisions based on your best knowledge. But once you know, you don't really have those excuses anymore. So listen at your own peril.
You know, last week we spoke about getting maximum growth. Mm-hmm. And I gave an example. Sorry, it was the week before last. Last week we didn't have a show.
Yes.
So we spoke about getting maximum growth. And we saw that if you go back and look at some of our oldest equity unit trust funds in South Africa that have histories in excess of 20 years and longer, we saw that their average return per year for the last 20 years was just over 15% per annum.
And that was across the board.
Okay, so across the board, talking about funds that have the history. So we're talking fact, we're talking reality.
Yeah.
It's not made up numbers. So that means if you were invested in those funds, your money would have been doubling every 5 years.
Sure.
The power of compounding.
That sounds good.
Okay, it's great. And that's where we want to be as investors. Unfortunately, when you really have a look at those numbers, and what one needs to understand is that 15% average return every year for the last 20 years doesn't come in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with years of overperformance and years of underperformance. And we looked at rolling periods, okay? And within a rolling one-year period, so if you take any single 1 year at any point of that 20-year period, it could have been as much as a 76% return in 1 year, which is eye-wateringly beautiful. We would all love that. But at the same time, it could also come at a loss of 31%.
Which is eye-watering for a different reason.
Correct. And that's what hurts investors. That's these negatives that people can't stomach and causes them to capitulate.
And what we've learned is that time in the market is what actually lets that magic of compounding work.
Absolutely. And to remind ourselves on that, if we go back to listen to episode 7 that we dealt with, time in the markets, where we had a look at, again, a 20-year period of these particular funds that have the history. If you had compared being invested in one of those funds for the full 20-year period to somebody who had just climbed out the market and missed the 10 best days during that period. So out of 7,300 days, they only missed 10 of the best days.
Yeah.
They would have been 45% worse off than the person who had remained invested for the full term.
That is a big number.
It's a huge number. If they had just missed the 20 best days, so we're talking 0.27% of the time that they had missed out, would have meant they would have been 66% worse off than somebody who had remained invested.
It hurts.
If you had just missed 30%, 30
days
of those 7,300 days, the 30 best days,
okay,
you would have been 77% worse off than a person who had just put their money in the market and left it.
And of course, we're not sitting here with crystal balls. We can't predict those 10, 20, 30 best days. So in actual fact, the best thing is, and this is a question I asked you off air, because I don't want to be giving people hocus pocus advice over here, but these are one of the few things that if you have the right strategy in place from the get-go, it's something you do not need to check in with annually. You can actually rest assured that you have made the right decision and you can leave it be.
Absolutely correct, yeah. And again, this is when I come back to investing is simple but not easy. The simple part is to let compounding take its effect over time. The not easy part is to stop reacting to the perceived threats of the short-term noise.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't react to that. So that kind of leads me to the next point. How do we make it easier for investors not to capitulate and to remain invested? And one of the methods of doing this is to have a smoother ride for the investor where there is not as much volatility.
Okay.
So the highs might not be as high and the lows might not be as low. And it makes it a little more palatable for the investor. And what I'm talking, the tools that are available to investors to achieve this are what we call multi-asset funds.
Okay.
A multi-asset fund is where an investment manager will blend assets of low correlation to achieve a smoother ride over time. They have a strategy that they're looking to achieve over the period of time. And to give an example, we're talking about high equity unit trust funds where it'll be a blend of assets that are made up of shares, equities, bonds, property, and other fixed interest instruments.
And of course, one then offsets the other.
Correct. Typically, when shares aren't doing well, bonds are doing better, and vice versa. Okay, a high equity fund will have a maximum exposure to 75% shares.
Okay. Okay. Quite a big number.
Correct. Okay. That high equity fund looks to achieve inflation plus 5 to 6%. So outperforming inflation by 5 to 6%. Over the protracted period of time. So that's the strategy that these guys are investing at.
In the high equity fund.
In the high equity fund. So they will build a fund around that sort of strategy and with anything up to a maximum of 75% in shares. And they will make tweaks along the road to ensure that outcome. So there will be changes. It's not just a complete buy and hold strategy.
Right.
There will be tweaks. So they're not sitting on their hands doing nothing. Depending on what is happening in markets, they will make fine-tuning tweaks to that.
But this is somebody with the latest information. This is somebody who's a professional at making those tweaks. They've considered absolutely every variable before making these changes.
Absolutely. And so to give an example of high equity funds, so we take the same unit trust fund managers that have a protracted history. In other words, we're talking 20 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are guys that have been around for years. They know what they're doing. In the high equity space, in any rolling 1 year period, you could have achieved to a best year of plus 49% to a worst year of about minus 17%.
Okay, quite a big difference.
So if you compare that to somebody that has been fully exposed into a share portfolio, where it could have been as high as 78% and as low as minus 31%,
slightly smoother.
You can see the variability is not as great.
Cinching it in.
But at the same 20-year period, the average annual return for that high equity fund would have been between 13 to 14%.
Versus so it's about 15, 13, yeah.
It's actually 13.78 as opposed to the 15%. So you can see it's still a very, very good return.
Okay.
So it makes the ride a lot smoother. If we apply the same thing, if we look at the medium equity space where they can have exposure up to 60% of equities, there your returns will vary on any rolling 1 year period of between plus 33% and minus 9.25.
Okay.
So you can start to see the downside is being lifted. Your low watermark is being lifted. So it does make it more palatable for the investor who has a lower temperament to risk.
Yes.
At the same time, their average return over the 20-year period would have been about 11.5%.
Which is still decent.
Decent return, absolutely. So this is 11.5%. Their target is beating inflation by 4%, which again, they achieve over the protracted period of time.
Great.
If we look at the low equity space, where they can have exposure to about 40% shares, okay, maximum exposure, 40% shares. So yes, there is always going to be some form of share exposure in the portfolio, okay. There, on any rolling 1 year period, looking back over the last 20 years, maximum return of 23%, minimum return of minus 6%, with an average return of between 9.5% and 10%.
All of these still very decent, still exposed to a very fair share amount of the shares in the equity markets. I mean, 40% on the lowest side is still a good number.
Absolutely. And you can see in terms of the returns, they are achieving those returns. So for that investor that is far less comfortable in terms of their personal temperament in taking on risk, there is an appropriate fund that can be implemented. But we need to balance this off against the required return that that investor needs to take to achieve their long-term outcome.
And then the next question that I asked you was, you know, we are bombarded with bells and whistles and the latest, greatest, newest fund that's doing most amazing things. What is the danger of falling prey to that? Because, you know, you think that you are making the best decision. I mean, it's marketed to be the next best thing since sliced bread. Do you abandon the strategy for that? And if you do, what's the danger?
Okay, the danger is, so a strategy shouldn't be changed.
Okay.
The only time a strategy should be changed is if your objectives change.
Right.
Okay. Unfortunately, in the financial services industry, there is a lot of marketing bump out there of new product where guys are chasing fees and chasing costs. And that's one thing that happens when you apply something new. Very often it can involve upfront fees, other upfront costs, withdrawal costs, etc., etc. And for me, what is important is to have a look at what's been around with history behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you implement that and don't change that. Again, the only reason why you would change is if something happens that your strategy, your objectives have changed. Okay, that's why you need to change it. Or if something major happens with the institution that you invested.
Right.
In other words, if you have invested with an institution where there is one particular key asset manager and he leaves the company, that might, and I say might, be a catalyst for changing the strategy because of the key man risk involved in that. And again, when one looks at implementing funds, those are some of the things that one must look at in terms of selecting a fund manager.
What's excellent though is all this information as far as funds go, who the manager is, who the key people are making these decisions, it's all information that's publicly available. This is not information that you have to just decide on a whim about. And this is where it comes to, you know, these are slow decisions. These are not decisions that you need to make in a hurry. And when you are doing them, lean on the advice of the professionals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lean on the advice of the professionals, but also be very careful in terms of being sold something, being sold the latest flavor of the month. You've got to be very careful of that.
As you said, very often, that latest flavor of the month, you're buying in at the highest possible price.
Correct. And this is, again, a big caveat. Is people tend to chase performance.
Mm.
So they look for the next top performing fund and they sell out of their fund and they buy into the top performing fund. And let's, you know, you can use an analogy. You're buying something when it's on maximum markup.
Yeah.
So you're selling when things are discounted and you're buying on maximum markup. And unfortunately, investors repeat this process. Mm. And there's the analogy where one says, you keep on repeating that process until you are broke because you're buying. It's like walking into the store. When that thing, that item on the shelf is at maximum markup, that's when you want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's out on sale, you don't want to touch it.
And coming back to something that has been reiterated time and time again on these episodes, investments are known to outperform investors. So make the right decision, slow down, do your research, work with a professional, and then leave the thing alone.
Absolutely. Consistency of performance over time.
Shan, as always, this has been an absolute pleasure. I really should be taking notes over here. I wish I could multitask at more things. But the good news is that you can always catch up with these episodes. If you have only just tuned in, then find the catch up on the Radio Life and Style app, and it will be available along with the rest of the episodes. There are pearls of advice waiting there for you. And remember, yes, this time of the year is stressful. We're all trying to make our money work for us. But make the right decision and make the informed decision. You have this knowledge at your disposal. Shan, thanks once again for joining us. And of course, if anybody would like to get hold of you to start this process, how can they do that?
They can get hold of me by dropping me an email at shannon@wealthology.co.za. And if there are any questions that people want to us to perhaps deal with, they can also drop me some emails and we can perhaps look at it, covering those, answering those questions in future episodes.
I like that a lot. If you have any specific topics, you've heard that open invitation, pop that email to shannon@wealthology.co.za and let us help you make more meaningful decisions with your money. You're on Radio Life and Style. It's Leon Bridges up next with Forgive You.